Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Am I excited for today's show? You bet your kick-ass I am. When you were a child, did you ever want to become a superhero with powers that helped you conquer the world? Whether you wish for flying powers or the ability to cast spider webs at the flick of a wrist, we can all use a superhero in our lives now and then. And sometimes that superhero is in the form of a copywriter. Connecting with customers in 2021 is tough, and like really tough. Attention spans are shorter than ever. Clickbait is running rampant, and fake news is one of the worst obstacles and the newest obstacles to impact the world of content marketing today. And it sounds like we need a superhero after all. So even though clickbait and fake news are a few evil villains in the eyes of your customers, this doesn't mean that you need to accept defeat. You can still win the attention of your audience by installing some serious copywriting skills into your business blog, but it will take some dedication and a splash of superhero copywriting talent to make it work. So if you enjoy writing, you may have entertained the thought of becoming a full-time copywriter. When you learn how to become a copywriter, you can do exactly that. Copywriting is in demand because many businesses are turning to content marketing to increase revenue and generate leads. And copywriters spend their days writing prose for the purpose of advertising to promote and sell goods and services. So, for example, a copywriter might write a new jingle for a cereal commercial or come up with a new company tagline. A copywriter's job may not be in the spotlight, but the role is really important. And it makes a large impact on the image and reputation of a company or a brand. And like copywriters are the intelligent creatives behind the likes of writing social media content. They collaborate with many people from PR, marketing and customer services. They produce really high quality, error-free content. And they adapt the points from a creative brief into persuasive copy. So with all that fresh in your mind, let's dig a little deeper and find out of our guest today, who is Zoe Simmons, an accredited journalist and accomplished copywriter. So let's see if we can get her to lift the veil on this mysterious profession and discuss the process behind all the amazing and global acclaimed content under her accomplished belt. Zoe knows how to captivate audiences through the raw power of storytelling. And also, at the age of 24, Zoe began building her copywriting and editing business, where she now works full-time, helping businesses, small and large, to find their perfect words. She's had work on ethical journalism published in Kathy Devine's book, Golden Age Politics, and made her speaker debut at the 2021 National Young Writers Festival. Zoe is also the silver winner of the Young Female Entrepreneur of the Year Award in the 2021 Stevie Awards for Women in Business. Now, that's an achievement and a milestone, let alone being who she is. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glow-Getter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. A huge shout-out to all the women working out on site and on track today all over the globe. Stay safe and have a fantastic day or night shift. This might also be a good time for a trigger warning that today's show may and does contain some adult language. Okay, let's get into it and meet Zoe. Hello, Zoe, and welcome to Kick-Ass Radio. Firstly, thank you for coming on the show and for sharing some of your valuable time with us today. I know you're super busy, but I also know we are all going to enjoy your company, and we're eager to find out all about, a little bit more about journalism and copywriting. So, Zoe, your bio and portfolio reads like a celebratory glossary. Tell us a bit more about yourself and your career to date so far, how you've reached this success.
Well, firstly, thank you so much for having me. It's great to chat today. I don't know. It is a bit of a shock to, I guess, look back and see what I've achieved in like the last 26 years alone. I'm pretty proud of that. I guess it started about 10 years ago. It started when I figured out I liked words. But I did my first little work experience at the age of 16 at my local newspaper, and I just fell in love with it. I did want to be an author, but I figured journalism might be a little bit easier to get into, and, you know, a bit more jobs probably for a journalist than an author, at least as a teenager. So I ended up actually really falling in love with it and studied a Bachelor of Journalism and went on to do a fair few internships. I was the online editor of my university magazine. I worked briefly with Mamma Mia, with the Cancer Council. I worked in social media with the Daily Mail, and eventually I kind of just realized I really liked freelancing. I did work for a couple of years in a government comms organization, which also, I guess, gave me the confidence to not just freelance for journalism, but freelance for copywriting and anything communications wise as well. And use the skills I'd learned in my career to, promote myself. And through that, the things that I believe in. So I've just been, doing my best, saying yes to opportunities and hoping for the best.
Well, you've definitely diversified your pathway through journalism and associated media related industries. And you've set a great example of just what is achievable within all aspects of journalism and writing. And as I said, what a stellar media wall you are able to boast, you know, working with such names like Mamma Mia, Fairfax Media, News Corp, Daily Mail, New York Post. That's life magazine. I mean, the list goes on. So it's a formidable portfolio to have, and you need to be congratulated and rewarded for that, of course. So copywriting, it seems really exciting, but first let's get our basics clear. What actually is copywriting and what do you do, especially for the listeners that don't know? Like I have an idea of what it's about because I'm an author myself and create a fair bit of social media content. But for those out there, what does a copywriter do and how do you contribute to all these like media outlets?
Copywriting is such a diverse thing. there's so many aspects to it. Basically, I think of it as anything that a business needs for their work, any kind of words a business might need. So that might be your website. It might be some blogs. It could be social media copy. It could be a video script, an awards application, brochures, bios, reports. Literally anything with words, it can be. So I guess it really depends on what that person specializes in. What was your second question?
I was just, and like, what do you do? So what's the actual job of a copywriter? So.
Oh, yeah. So generally speaking, I, talk to clients, figure out what they want, what kind of isn't working about their copy at the moment. And, what they want to achieve from it. And then I look through, I might, research competitors. I might look at other things. I really like to interview them and get to the heart of why they want something, why they care about it. I think that passion and I guess that experience from my journalism years really helps, make content really engaging and, how storytelling can really help your business.
So my take on copywriting is that it is part art, it's part human psychology and part science. So you need to understand underlying motivations as to why people buy. And then, you obviously craft the words to spur people on to take action. However, writing the words isn't enough though. So you also have to use, as you said, data and reporting. So you go and research the customer's industry or field or sector or product that they're selling. and or service, and you improve on that for them. So I suppose in the eyes of your customers, their prospects are like goldfish, and they only have, you know, those couple of seconds to grip their wandering attention. So every ad, article, web page, it needs words that pack a punch, that inspire and that resonate and play a part in a carefully cultivated buyer's journey. So that's obviously exactly where you need a copywriter like yourself that's as bold yeah. and results driven. So that's, you know, creativity at its best. So with your creativity, like you help to the business cut through the noise. So, you know, and it's got to be powerful. It's got to be persuasive and more memorable, I suppose. So can I call you a word slinger or a word crafter?
I haven't heard those terms before, but I would accept that. I usually just say word nerd, and
I did see that on,
as well.
I did see that on your bio, but yeah, I come across that term a little while ago, word slinger. I thought that packs a punch. Actually,
it does. Makes me feel like I'm in the Wild West of copywriting.
So it shows your creative flair. So getting back, like following on from your 10 years plus as a journalist and as an intelligent creative, how do you prepare or declutter your mind to make room for this creative work that you produce?
I mean, I think for me, especially someone living with chronic pain and mental illness, for me the key is rest and listening to my body, and when I'm tired, to just let myself be and not have so much pressure, which is very hard because I'm also very driven. So I constantly just want to go, go, go. And I have all these ideas, but you just have to stop yourself, rein yourself in, because if you do give yourself that space, generally speaking, you can craft something even better, or, you know, think about your goals and what you actually want to achieve. And I guess analyze and think, hey, wait a second, is this what I want to be doing? Is this leading to what I want to eventually achieve? So for me, resting and I guess doing things that I enjoy as well, and making sure that my creativity isn't all just work, because I find it's quite draining when you're just a creative all the time and it's just as a source of income. But it's more powerful than that and beautiful. So I also, you know, I do a little bit of art, not well. I write some poems and music, and make sure there's parts of my creativity that I'm not using for profit. I'm just using mm-hmm. for fun and for me. I mean, if I could eventually get profit, that'd be amazing. But I guess just making sure that you're looking after yourself and that you don't lose that love.
Definitely that. Yeah. So you're enjoying your job. You've always got to be enjoying your job and have that passion there. So we said, you know, you called yourself a word and grammar nerd. How are you off for correctness and perfectionism? And I suppose in your job as a copywriter, it has to be perfect.
I am a perfectionist, which is good and bad. I mean, it's great for my clients because it means that, you know, usually when I have a first draft, it's more like a final draft, which is great for them and anyone I work with. But also, I guess, agonizing for me because I want it to be absolutely perfect and nothing short of that is acceptable. So for my clients, I am really detailed in that. I guess that comes in handy as an editor, particularly. But for me, though, for my own things, I just have to calm down. Like, okay, it's good. It doesn't have to be the best in the world. If it's good and it helps someone, that is great. But, yeah, I do need to, I guess, calm down a little bit with my perfectionism.
Does any of your work and your great ideas get shot down from your clients if, you know, what you produce and you show that to your client, do you ever get a big knockback to say, hey, that's not the message we're chasing, or that's not, you know, what we're looking for? No, we're not happy with that. How do you take that, and how do you go back to the drawing board or the writing pad, I suppose, and start again? Or do you use your power of persuasion and creativity to talk them into what you've written?
I guess it depends. I'm probably pretty lucky in this. I haven't had a lot of pushback. Generally speaking, when I suggest something, I explain why. And if the client's like, oh, yep, that makes sense, we just go through it. But if they push back and it's, you know, that's not what they want, that's fair enough. It is their work. I will abide by what they want. I'll explain why I think it could be improved or changed and made better. But in the end, it's their decision. Although I have had, I guess, a lot more rejection in the field of journalism because it is very hard. So generally speaking, if I don't get a response from an editor that I might have pitched an article to, I find somewhere else. I don't necessarily just give up. If I think it's an important story, I will find somewhere else to publish it. And, you know, at the end of the day, even if I don't get a publisher, I can self-publish on my own website and social media. So that is good.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are a diligent copywriter and always ready to provide solutions to the problems. I can see that in what you've provided and what you've produced. And in the end, it all comes down to caring about your prospect and uncovering if your content is going to help them, doesn't it? It's all about them in the long run for you. It's about your customers and providing that service to them.
Absolutely. I care so deeply about my customers and my clients. And in the end, I actually become pretty good friends with most of them, which is also amazing.
That's right.
Yeah.
To have a great business relationship is it's part and parcel of creating that creativity, because you're working, you know, alongside with them, you're on the same wavelength. So yes, it is definitely great to have a good business relationship in regards to that.
Definitely. It's more than just a client or a job to me. It's I guess I look at their business and what they're trying to do, and you know, it's their life. It's not just a job that you can just forget about the day after. You know, that the work you do for someone will have long-lasting impact, so you want to make sure it's going to work for them.
All right, we're just going to take a little break and hear from one of the show's sponsors, and we'll be back with all the listeners soon.
Hey Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Okay, thanks for tuning back in. And where we are getting our words worth with Zoe Simmons, who is a journalist and copywriter. So what do you know about your work now, Zoe, that you wish you'd known when you first started? I think what I'm alluding to here is, has there been one thing that's leveraged your success or a lesson learned that's guided you into a more fluent road to your success and achievements?
Honestly, I think the only thing I wish I could tell myself from when I was younger and starting out is that I wish I'd believed in myself more. Also, maybe, I guess, cutting myself some slack that it's okay if you don't get some things, and the right opportunity will eventually show up. You just have to work hard. You just have to keep caring about what you're doing and keep producing good work and putting yourself out there too. Like, I think I was really anxious about promoting myself, so I didn't do anything really like that. But it's actually, you know, a key part of running a business, and especially working with advocacy and trying to promote causes that I think are really important, you kind of have to get out there. So I think, you know, backing myself and not caring as much about potential people not liking me, you're never going to be able to stop people not liking you, so just, I guess, do it for the people who do really like you and resonate with you, and shine your light, definitely. Even if it's scary.
We all suffer from those self-limiting beliefs. We all suffer from lack of self-confidence, and it is all about stepping out of your comfort zone, providing more confidence in yourself, or having that confidence in yourself, and going out and going after what you want. And if you really want to achieve something, you need to take the action and step out of that comfort zone and self-promote, self-advocate. It's all part and parcel of, you know, getting yourself out there and getting those opportunities. So yes, definitely, as we all suffer from those self-limiting beliefs, but we've all got to take the action and move forward with them. So with copywriting, it is a craft, and you've always got to be practicing and improving as you've learned how to become a copywriter. Did you have any mentors, or did you study any great copywriters and study their work to gain some insight as to how they did it? And
I mean, to be honest, I didn't really realize copywriting was what I was doing when I first started. I kind of just thought, oh, it's, you know, writing. I just mainly did journalism. It wasn't until I found Kate Toon, and I did one of her SEO courses, and then ended up joining her copywriting community, and just learned everything about, I guess, running a copywriting business and how to do it professionally, and I guess use the skills that I already learned and make it into a solid business. So that was mind-blowing. And then meeting all the amazing copywriters in there that are just incredible, that I really admire, as well as I think authors, I think, are a big inspiration for me in terms of writing, like Rochelle Mead or Tara Moss or Carly Finley, and I guess combining activism and words at the same time. Yeah. So I guess I wanted to work with brands that make a difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we all have that advocacy within ourselves. Like, I'm a huge advocate for quite a few things myself, but and like a little bit of feminism, but we need to be seen and we need to use our voices more. So that's where I advocate it a bit there. So in regards to copywriting, one more question about that. Do you need to be a member of a professional society for copywriters? Does that society have any guidelines? So are you legally bound by anything in particular?
I don't think there's a specific copywriting body that you have to be a part of, which I guess is good and bad, because it means a lot of people that aren't great copywriters can claim they're copywriters. Generally speaking, there's a lot of, informal groups. Like, there's a lot of groups online, like the Freelance Jungle, for example, that a lot of copywriters hang out in, and the Clever Copywriting Community. I think the MEAA also might have some guidelines potentially, but that could just be journalism. No specific body or governing rules.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, it was just a question I thought, oh, I must have asked, because I wasn't, you know, wasn't aware of it myself either. So in regards to when you've originally said when you were younger you wanted to be an author, I gather that you are an avid reader and a bookworm, of course.
Definitely.
And you did mention a couple before, so any particular book or books that have helped you the most over your career?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I probably should read more businessy books, but I guess the ones that have captured me have been the fantasy and urban fantasy books, I guess, you know, explaining emotion and having feelings just be so prominent in the work. I guess, and like I guess feeling the power of words and, you know, being able to read a book and have it transport you, and I find that so inspiring. It excites me so much to read it, and I try to recreate that, I guess, when I use my own work, especially journalism and, you know, any other creative works. Honestly, I think finding Rochelle Mead's books were probably the biggest eye-opener, because I realized you could, combine humor and personality as well as clear, engaging writing. And that just has stuck with me. And even though, the first books I read from her were young adult books, Vampire Academy, so I've kind of outgrown them a little bit, but I still do have, they held a special place in my heart, particularly her adult books as well.
Yeah, and books are all about taking you on the journey, and you need to let your mind go on that journey and recreate it yourself. And as you said, that's where a lot of your creative flow comes from actually going on that journey. So, yes, books are definitely a mind-traveling companion.
Definitely. Best friends you can have, I guess, growing up.
That's right. It is. And it's, you know, we should be advocating more for the younger generation to read, because it is so, you know, so good for your mind and your well-being. It's exercise for your brain.
Absolutely. It's just magical.
Yeah. All right. So we'll finish with copywriting there. And I'd just like to ask you, over the course of your life and your career now, has there been any major challenges and that's actually provided like a stepping stone to where you are now, and for your advocacy and for what you've got in store or what you're doing now?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges I've had to, I guess, learn to live with and work with is developing chronic pain. I started experiencing it about 4 years ago or so. I didn't entirely understand what it was back then, and honestly I thought it was normal. It wasn't until I broke a bone and realized that my abdominal cramps were actually more painful than a broken bone. And then they, I guess, became more frequent, and other symptoms started rising. So that really rocked my world. I was someone that was quite quite a high achiever. Like, I'd be the person that would be spending my recess and lunch in the library at school studying. And when I studied my degree, I was also that person that would be in the library the whole day, getting work done early and doing all the things. So when I started developing chronic pain and chronic fatigue, I couldn't do that. And that was really hard for me, because I think when it started getting really bad, I was doing way too much. I was working 4 days a week in a job and about 16-hour days with my own copywriting on the other side. So it was just way too much. And I completely burnt out, I think, mental health-wise and chronic pain-wise and chronic fatigue-wise. It was just too much. So I had to figure out a way that I could still achieve things while being in pain. That was ridiculously hard, but eventually I guess I just realized that I can't do everything, and that I need to set up my business in a way that I can support my chronic pain. So that's exactly what I did. I ended up working on my business and quitting my job, and I make my business run completely around how I'm feeling. But that's actually led to a lot of really cool opportunities. Like, for example, realizing I'm disabled meant that I could start to engage with the disability community online. And there's so many amazing people there, and I've learned so much. And I guess my advocacy headed in a slightly different direction as a result of that. And I've been able to do a lot of good, I think, and at least helping people not feel so alone as well. As well as, I guess, raising awareness that this happens, that young people can experience this, and that it does totally change your life, but it's not an end. You can still do great things.
Exactly. It's, you know, there is a lot of us out there that have lots of, you know, things going on in the background. Some take it as a finishing point and they don't pursue anything further because they let their illness or their disability, you know, actually debilitate them. But there is a lot of opportunity out there, you know, and if you put a good self-management plan together, like as you obviously have, you can create opportunities for yourself tenfold, can't you? Like, it's, there's lots of opportunities to be had out there, and don't let a disability hold you back by all means.
I mean, at the same time though, sometimes it does hold you back because that's the nature of it.
It depends, I suppose, yeah, as you said, the individual nature of it. But in saying that, it's, you know, there's always something that can occupy your mind or your time that can alleviate that little bit of pressure off that disability or that impairment or whatever you may have. Sorry, you're right.
Oh, sorry. Actually, I think it's just about, you know, understanding that, yes, you have something that may be impacting you, but you can still put your mind to things and do things that you want to. I mean, obviously there's some things you won't be able to physically do, but
it's applying yourself how best you can and in the situations that you can. That's you know, exactly right.
Doing what best, how you can do it and do it best for you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So in your advocacy awareness, you said you've worked for some disability organisations there. What else are you doing in that realm, mental health-wise? Like, it's Mental Health Month. I'm a big advocate for mental health. I've been promoting that all this month. I usually promote it all the time. But it's so important to our overall health and well-being, our mental health. And it doesn't have to be an illness. It's just a overall, what am I going to say? It's wellness, overall wellness rather than an illness.
Yeah, I mean, mental health is so important to me, I guess, because I've lived with it my whole life. And it's not until being an adult that I realized just how stigmatized it was, because I guess I've grown up, you know, that mental health is something we talk about, whereas I didn't realize a couple of generations ago that that wasn't the case. So I think it's really important to talk about what we experience, whether it's mental health, whether it's chronic pain, raising awareness that this does happen. And the more we talk about it and show that anyone can experience these things, and I guess destigmatize it. I'm definitely very passionate about that, as well as just helping someone not to feel so alone in their struggles, that you aren't alone, and, you know, people care about you. Even, yeah.
And that's right. And it's about being able to be a good listener rather than speaking, you know, put your ear out there and lend your ear and just listen. You don't have to speak. You don't have to respond to them. It's just giving that person another sounding board. And if you can just support, yeah, that's right. If you can support them in just that capacity, that can be such an enormous help to that person. So yes, mental health is definitely a big topic on my list of things to do to always raise awareness of it and advocate for it. And that's in, as you said, yeah, in teenagers particularly, it was a big stigma for adults, you know, years ago, and particularly men. Men are very shy about putting their feelings out, talking about their feelings, expressing their emotions and feelings. And now we are actively promoting men to do that as well as teenagers. It's really imperative for teenagers to be able to show those emotions, to express their feelings. And once they do that and once they feel comfortable and confident in doing that, there is a lot of progress made within themselves. And I think they eventually see that, and there's a lots of support out there for them to actively do that now too, which is a good positive sign.
I think especially just knowing that you don't have to bottle up, you don't have to walk this alone, and there's nothing wrong with being emotional. There's nothing wrong with having feelings. It's good to feel your feelings.
Exactly.
And you feel them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can then process them and I guess work through rather than just ignoring it, which I think that was probably what was done more in the past.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, it was a big taboo. You don't to show signs that you're actually struggling with your life, you know, particularly mentally. That was like, oh, we need to send her off to the funny farm or, you know, a mental health institution, because that's just not acceptable.
I speak about it a lot.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a very sad story to see what happened in the past and in history, but such great progress happening now, and the advocacy and the awareness of all of that out and about now, and the resources. There's some fantastic resources that everyone can tap into online and in a lot of the organisations within everyone's hometown and the regions. There's definitely a lot of resource out there to assist with anyone.
I think especially now that things are online too, it helps a lot of people in rural communities that may not have been able to access them.
That was hard
for me when I was growing up. So I think that's something that people in cities probably don't realise.
How hard it is out in the regional and rural areas that, you know, the internet is still unavailable in a lot of remote areas and rural areas. You know, they're still that far behind with technology, and it's amazing to see that we are still, you know, on the back burner in some areas of Australia with that. You can't really fathom that technology isn't in all areas of the country, but
at least not well.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So, building on this now, and I know it's probably stemmed from a challenge or a particular reason, but I believe you are now putting pen to paper by working on your very own first book and becoming an author. So tell us about your story. What's got you expressing your words into a manuscript now?
I've always wanted to write a book. I have, I guess, written a couple of books, or attempted to, over the years. On New Year's Eve 2019, I actually was in the Black Summer bushfires. Mm. I headed back to my hometown of Batemans Bay on the New South Wales south coast. To visit my mum, and we got evacuated. So that was absolutely terrifying to experience. The fire was like on the sides of the roads as we were driving, and you know, you just saw this black smoke as you were heading to the evacuation centre. And even at the evacuation centre, one of the spot fires was less than 100 metres away, and like I just remember staring out at like a cliff in front of me that had like black smoke really close. I think less than a kilometer, it was burning houses in suburbia. and just looking at it and thinking, oh gosh, if we see flames, we have to just run behind us to the ocean. And that was such a terrifying experience, even at the evacuation center. And I wasn't, you know, one of the people fighting and trying to save my home. I wasn't one of the people that, I didn't know if people I loved were alive, but lots of people had it worse. Like one person in my book that I'm writing, they didn't know if their dad was alive. They had like one last phone call that they said they were trapped. There were fireballs the size of fire trucks raining down around them. And that they said, I'm sorry, I can't get out. And then the reception cut out. So I guess hearing stories like that, and I guess my own experiences, I was writing all these articles to try and help to raise awareness about what was happening, I guess, you know, in our own words, because a lot of times journalists just kind of come in, bulldoze and forget. Whereas I knew I wouldn't do that. And I tried to raise funds a lot in the articles I wrote. I actually helped raise like $20,000 in that, just by sharing people's fundraisers and stories and getting big news to be interested. But in the end, I was just thinking, wow, there is so much that the news just isn't capturing, and, you know, so much more that just a simple 1,000-word article can't capture. So I decided to make it a collection. I decided to write a book, and it's a collection of our stories of survival. So it's the good, it's the bad, it's the brave. But also, I guess something that's kind of strange but cool about it is there were some really nice moments in all that terror from everyone's stories. There, you know, maybe someone made like a casserole or something beforehand and they managed to take it with a fire and then share it with everyone. Or, you know, a young single mum that didn't have anywhere to go and everyone rallied around her and stuff. So actually,
a lot of humility does come out in, you know, in those unfortunate and tragic circumstances, and they were very tragic in a lot of areas. It's something, you know, that we have unfortunately seen in Australia a number of times, but to that extent it was back in 2019 was absolutely horrific. And I couldn't even imagine, you know, what you felt, what you saw. And a lot of those areas are still recovering, and they still got a long way to recover, don't they? It's
We're not on your screens anymore, but no, definitely that's still suffering.
That's right. And that's where, you know, to share those stories is definitely, you know, a great thing to do, because as you said, it's not on our screens anymore. It was there at the time. It was, you know, breaking news. As you said, it's only told, only bits and pieces are told. All those heart-wrenching stories that some of them you are obviously sharing, we don't get to hear those. So that will be a wonderful read, a very heartwarming read, and a very emotional read, I dare say.
So definitely. I cried writing it. Yes. I cried so much writing it. So
how far along are you off from actually getting that published now?
Well, it's nonfiction, so I can actually start pitching now. I have about 30,000 words written and enough interviews to probably do about 70,000 words. Yep. So I'm at the moment, I'm trying to pitch to publishers and to agents, I guess because I want to get these stories out, and there's a lot of pressure, I guess, to, you know, people have told me their deepest, darkest experiences, and I think I owe it to them to get their history out there and get our history out there in our own words, not from people that didn't experience it, but from us. Like, I know there's plenty of
exactly right. It's, you know, to get those firsthand stories, the firsthand emotions. It's it always resonates with me when I read a nonfiction book, and particularly about a situation like that. You know, I find myself crying. You're expressing all the emotions as you're being told, as you're reading them. And it's, you know, it's such a great lived experience to read stories such as this. Mm-hmm. So definitely, yes, we hope that you can, you know, get the attention of the publisher and get this book out there and the stories out there, because I know it would be a most successful book, and that everyone would, you know, get on board and enjoy and walk the journey with them all that have experienced that.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I know a couple of other similar projects are happening as well, but I think the difference is that this is us telling our own stories, and I think that is so much more powerful than any outside writer, journalist or producer trying to do it. These are our words, and I'm going to be running everything I write by the people in the stories to make sure one, it's accurate and that they're comfortable. But I guess also if there's anything else they want to share and just really give people a voice that don't have one, that no one really cares about. I mean, I care, but for example, like even trying to pitch articles to news outlets at the moment about the fires, you don't get a response. And it's like, wow, really? You cared so much a year and a bit ago. Yeah. But now it's just, why don't you people care? I care, so I'm going to keep pushing this, and hopefully a publisher will care too. And,
yeah, definitely. I'm sure someone out there will jump on board with it because it is a fantastic story and it's one that needs to be told and shared. Well, Zoe, that's been a great conversation and one that is sometimes not considered to be or go to the depths that we've dived in today. So we really appreciate you coming on the show today and for sharing those stories. And we'll put your links up to your website for anyone wanting to reach out to you. Once again, we'll be looking forward to seeing your book on the bookshelves in the stores. And we wish you all the best, and definitely for the copywriting business, we hope to see more of that, and wish you, as I said, all the best with that. And we'd love to catch up with you a little later on in the early part of the new year in 2022, and we'll follow up on hopefully your published book and where you are in your copywriting business and more of those glamorous and big names that we can see on your portfolio.
I do have a couple of exciting things in the back burner that I can't talk about yet, but I'm really excited for when I can.
Oh, excellent.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll look forward to talking to you again and finding out all about that. But, yes, take care and thanks for joining us, and we'll catch up with you in a couple more months in 2022.
Thanks so much for having me, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, Zoe.
Hi, Glowgetters. We're Brenjo's Earthmoving, a professional earthmoving business specialising in a range of infrastructure works across a variety of industries, located in Mackay, Queensland. Here at Brenjo's, we're a family-owned company backed by an incredible team. We've seen firsthand the incredible benefits that come from promoting and supporting a diverse workplace. We're so proud to be sponsoring Kick-Ass Radio and Kick-Ass Women's Mission to support women entering into non-traditional roles and careers.
Well, that's it, guys. I do hope you have enjoyed our show and our guest. A very big special thank you to Zoe Simmons for sharing so much of this newfound and invaluable information with us about copywriting and her journalism career. And also, we should have put out a trigger warning there for anyone that has suffered a bit of emotionally from our conversation on the bushfires of 2019, just in the last half of the show. We do apologise for that. And should you be feeling in require of some support, please reach out to the necessary and available resources to help you out there. So, as you can see, there is a lot to learn when you're trying to grow your writing skills. However, it's important that you remain diligent and keep flexing those writing muscles day after day. After a lot of practice and hard work, you too can be a powerful writer of posts and articles. If you need a copywriting superhero on your team, get in touch with Zoe for content that moves mountains. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on this episode and Zoe Simmons in the show notes or on my social media pages. And be sure to tune in again next week, where we're going to be chatting to another wonderful kick-ass woman out there making waves. Reach out to me and follow me on Kick-Ass Women or Jo Sainsbury social media pages, and or you can send me an email to jodie@kickasswomen.com.au. Well, that's it. That's all for today. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well, and go crush it. Keep in touch, Poscoms. Go on, get your glow on. Become a glow-getter.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Jo Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.